So last week we talked about vision. It was Vision Sunday. We talked about things that we're believing God to do in the coming months ahead, right? We started off pretty easy. We started off with things like, I believe that God has called this amazing group of people to make a huge difference in the communities that surround us. And so what we did, if you remember back then, was all the way back 7 days ago, when we made a statement, if you could go with it, if you could agree with it, then you just kind of said, like, you went like this, maybe even said amen. You know, some people would go like, watch out. So whatever, like, word of affirmation. And then if I said something crazy, you just put your crazy glasses on. So I had everybody at the beginning, and I start talking about, like, PlayStation's better than Xbox. Everybody knows that. I mean, that's in the Bible. But some people like went like this and put their glasses on. And then I start saying things like 500 people for next Christmas coming through our doors for Christmas services. And I don't know if anybody put their glasses on, but I believe that in my heart of hearts. This is like booby trap city up here. Like, I'm gonna trip and fall down these steps, and I'll be like, bless him, Lord. That's what you guys will say. Bless his heart. And I'll just lay there, pretend I'm in the spirit. So that's how that'll work. So 500 people for Christmas. We've said that in the next 5 years, we want to plan an additional two campuses. Then we started making people really nervous because I said, by 2020, we're going to have a campus in downtown Cincinnati. Let me explain what that means. I know not everyone speaks that language. So when I say additional campus, it isn't that we're going to, like, move from one place to another. That means that we'll be multi-site. I believe that we should reproduce. We should multiply. That is the pattern of the New Testament. And so we'll continue to grow until we can't fit anymore in here. And then we'll look to grow to another community and keep going west, young man. And so that is our vision. We talked a lot about that. If you weren't here, I suggest that you get on iHeartTheBridge.com/sermons and you take a listen to that. It'll help catch you up to speed with what we're talking about. We talked about how we're going to do that, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit. We're going to talk about, we're going to do that by God's grace. But we had a pretty simple plan last week. Anybody remember that plan was? Started off with Bobby and Aaron, and it was one somebody would tell another somebody who would tell another somebody who would tell another somebody, Jesus, right? We know our lines. We still remember. Good. We're sharp. And so we had a line all the way out the back door, this back door into the back door, the glass doors out into the parking lot. And it was Jesus. Mandy forgot her line one time, but it's all good. And Jesus, okay? And that's easy. It's easy, right? It's math and Jesus, right? It's math and Jesus. That's how we're going to get this thing done. We're going to grow. We're going to make an impact. We're not growing for attendance sake. We're not growing just so we could say, so we see people at Lake Manor, which I think, I shouldn't say that. It's delicious. Lake Manor is delicious, is what I meant to say. And so we go to Lake Manor and we go, hi, how are you? How many showed up? What was your attendance this morning? Like, you'll hear that. Like, I've been asked that. Like, how many people did you have this morning? I'm like, what planet are you on? When did that become the main idea? And it wasn't so much that the person asking me was asking me because that number represented life change. It just represented how many people have you stolen from other churches through the years, right? I wanted to say, well, how many people have been saved in your church in the last year? Right? That's what I wanted to say. I didn't know. I said 1,000, right? No, I didn't say that. And so we talked about God's grace is going to make this happen, but math and Jesus, man, just get that in your head. Math and Jesus. What does that mean? 1 + 1 = 2, right? So if everyone in this room, I don't know how many's in here. I was really hoping for an attendance breaker this morning. So I'm hoping if somebody stayed home this morning and is watching TV, I hope their TV starts to smoke and fizzle right now in Jesus' name, because you're letting me down. And so I know it's terrible. But then at 12:30, 1 o'clock, it'll come back on. So I really wanted to do to. We're getting there though. I mean, we're growing every week. We're excited. But if this is safe for math's sake, there's 60 people in here. If everyone brings one person next week, then all of a sudden we go to 120 in this room. There's also like 30 maniacs back there with Carson and the Bridge kids. But it's just easy, right? We just keep asking people to come and be a part of what we're doing here, this community of faith, Turkey Bowl, Tailgate Sunday, helping people in need, crazy glasses, right? We got it in the lockdown here. So that's how it's going to happen. We also talked about how we should have the confidence to aspire to these goals and do these great things for God, not because we're great, but because he is great and he loves us greatly. He loves us greatly. And we talked about for a second about how, what else does God have to do to prove to you and I that he loves us? Like, here's Jesus on the cross. Like, that should be like game over, right? Scoreboard, God, he wins, proven, done. But even still, we're like, I know, but I just gotta, and I don't know, I'm kind of like, you know, not that very good, and I don't think God really loves me. And I'm not making light of that, because a lot of people struggle with that. But just think of Jesus on the cross. Like, that's like the proof is in the proverbial pudding. That's a lot of peace. And so what God does is he doesn't stop there. He's like, okay, well, let me just keep loving you and reminding you and loving you and reminding you and loving you and reminding you. We talked about how it's like God, how God must feel kind of like when you're trying to find a special somebody, right? And you've got your eye on the special boy or you know, I relate it to a special girl, naturally. But we want to say that, you know, we used to talk about going to the parlor and wooing them and courting them is what some of the folks say. And maybe writing some notes. And, you know, what was also good in school was like, hey, will you tell her that I think she's cute? And just see what she says. Let me know what she says, right? And they're like, well, she thinks you're ugly. And I'm like, okay, well, I didn't say that. Why did you say it to her? Then we get mad at that person. But we talked about serenading, right? Like, that's like one of the ultimate things that you can do. Like, that's putting yourself out there. That's making yourself vulnerable, right? That you want to serenade somebody. We talked about Larry O'Hara, who's not here. Serves him right. But Larry O'Hara, he talked about, I could just picture him serenading Linda, right? Like, back in the day, serenading Linda. And I said, hypothetically, Larry, if you sang to Linda, what would you sing? And he said, Wendy. Now, I didn't know at the moment what Wendy was, but it turns out it's a Beach Boys song. I don't know if you might know that. Wendy's the Beach Boys. Does anybody in the room know Wendy from the Beach Boys? Okay, all right. And so Wendy from the Beach Boys, and I thought maybe he was kidding. You know, he was just kind of thinking it off the top of his head, but I thought, man, he had some confidence when he said that. So what I did is I got on the interwebs, and I started searching for Larry O'Hara and Wendy. And sure enough, I found some secret footage of Larry O'Hara. He's in his bedroom. It's like 1964. He's in his bedroom, and he's practicing to serenade Linda outside her bedroom window. So I'm just going to let Rob show that real quick. Larry. Good job, Larry. So that was, I mean, you saw the timestamp on it, so it's totally legit. It's like June 8th, 1964. And so, you know, that is the level of vulnerability. I thought you'd enjoy that a lot more. I think you're always like, is that, could it, you'll have to ask Larry. And so that is the same way that God is with us sometimes. He'll just put himself out there. Look, here I am. I'm completely open. I want you. And in fact, he wants us to be like that with him, right? He accepts us in all of our good, bad, and uglies, and he wants us and he loves us, and that gives us the confidence to live out his will in our life. I want to talk to you about dreaming big this morning. I want to talk to you about dreams. So just think for a moment. Have you ever had a dream that was like so real that when you woke up, you really weren't sure if it was real or not? And like, even the next day, you're like, was that a dream last night, or did this really happen? Or you've ever had a conversation with someone and go, hey, remember when we went back to that one place and we saw that one person and we was talking about that? And they're like, no. Like, you were there, me and you, we went to Walmart and we said, no, man. I'm like, no, for real, I was there. And they're like, you must have been what? Dreaming. You must have been a dream, right? It must have been a dream. And so we think about these dreams that are so like real that we can almost like taste it, right? And then there's some dreams like when you wake up, you know it's not reality. You know it's just a dream, but you're like upset because you're like, oh, that would be so amazing. Because like you're having this dream. Maybe it's like the fast car or the big house, or maybe it's this special someone that you've had your eye on. You've been thinking about what could you do to make them yours. And if I just could just be with her. And in my mind, all my dreams, it's Stephanie, of course. But we're dreaming these dreams, and we're saying, you know, what would life be like? And then we're in the middle of this dream, and like there you are, and you're at like a dinner, and maybe it's like it's an Italian restaurant, because everybody knows that that's where the romance happens, at Italian restaurants. And there's candlelights, and the music's playing, and you're talking about, how was your day? No, you tell me how your day was. You tell me first. And we talk about our hopes and our dreams, and we're sharing, we're loving, and we start talking about, man, what if we get married? Wouldn't that be crazy? And we could have a little house, and with a picket fence, we could have a dog, and we could, what's their dog's name? Your dog. Brew. We could have Brew and take weird pictures of them and put on the internet, and then we could have kids, and maybe we could have, like, I don't know, three kids, maybe four, maybe five kids. What would we name them? What would we name these kids? And all of a sudden, we're talking about these. Oh, I've always liked the name. And then we realize, right? It was just a dream, right? The alarm goes off. We wake up, and then we want to go to work, and we're angry, right? Because the dream that we had, that we were like into, we're like, why? You're just like, I gotta just finish. You were just like, I had a dream you wanted to finish. Like, I just want to see how this turns out, right? I want to see how this turns out. I used to have dreams a lot. Like, I was like, I don't know, maybe one night I'd be like a knight, right? And I'm battling evildoers, right? Or maybe I'm dreaming a lot about like Rambo. Like, I'm Rambo, right? Like, I'm Rambo. And I'm like in the jungle, and I'm just, you know, with water guns, right? But I'm shooting the bad guys, and you just like want to. You're like, man, that was an awesome dream. I just want. And in some dreams, you're like, I'm glad I woke up, because you woke up and you're like scared, you can barely breathe, and all this kind of stuff. So just, you know, think about these dreams that seem so real. And I think that when it comes to life in general, that there's really, when it comes to dreams, three groups of people. I think that the first group is a group where your dreams are fresh, you're excited about your future. You know, you can almost taste of how good your future is going to be. Everything looks bright. In fact, what does the song say? Your future's so bright that you got to wear shades, right? Like, that's you. That's your life. Like, everything is humming along. Everything's getting better by the day. You're excited. You're pumped. You're ready to go. Your dreams seem like they're right at your fingertips. Or maybe you're like one of the second group. And the second group's been around the block of life a few times. And life's okay. I mean, it's not great, but it's not terrible. But you can think back to some of the memories that you used to have, some of the dreams that you used to have, rather. And you're thinking about how life was supposed to turn out. And you're like, well, I mean, kind of veered off course. And I wanted to be here, but I'm here. It's not terrible. It's not terrible, but every once in a while, you're maybe sitting home alone, or you're laying down at bed at night before you go to sleep, and some of those distant dreams and visions and goals from the past kind of flicker in your heart, and you're thinking about, I just remember way back when I used to want to do this, and I really believed that one day I was going to do this, and I really believed that my relationships were going to look like this, and not so much. My dream way back when I was in high school was that me and my friends would talk about this a lot, but I was going to dunk a basketball by the time I was 30 years old. I'm glad you're not laughing. You're like, yeah, you probably did it. No, I didn't. What I should have been smart enough to know is that if you hit 25 and you haven't done it, like the chances start to go downhill, like off a cliff, right? Like, I should have backed that up and go, by the time I'm 22 or 23, because like I think I was kind of like peak at that point. But then like the closer I get to 30, like that's becoming less and less reality. So like I'll think about that once in a while. Like think about, but I'm like, I'm okay, right? If I don't dunk a basketball, like I still have, you know, the love of a woman and my family and great kids and church and the whole thing. But there's some things maybe that you just thought would just turn out different, a little bit more serious, but just thought they'd turn out different. Like, life's not over, but it's just not what you envisioned. And then the third group is like, life seems like it's just been like a series of disappointments and regrets, right? Like, everything that was supposed to happen did not happen. Everything that could go wrong seems to have gone wrong. And in fact, you'll find yourself in those quiet times, maybe you're laying down, getting ready to go to sleep, and those dreams like will come out of the caves and they'll start to remind you of like the things, these great things that you felt like you could do, and maybe with God's help that you would achieve for him and you would minister, or whatever it would be, whether it's the way your family would look or the way that your family would feel. But you're at the point now where you just like push those back in the cave where they came from, and we're back in the closet, and you shut the door and lock it and throw away the key, because what you can't deal with is just one more disappointment in life. You can't deal with one more betrayal. You can't deal with one more failure, right? You kind of given up on your dreams and you're just getting by. And I think sometimes when I'm talking about these different groups, you're thinking about, well, the first group is young and then the second's not so, a little bit older, then these are like the old people. It's not about that. It's not about age at all. It's not about maturity, certainly, because that would be to insinuate that life as you get older, or that maturity means that you start giving up on your dreams. And I think if anything, that the older we get in age and the older that we get in maturity and the older that we get in the Lord, that we should have as much confidence in our God than we ever have had in our life, because we walk with him longer. But the problem is that sometimes it can be the opposite, because it's not an age thing at all, but it's a time spent in this world. It's a time spent in this world, because in this world, humanity is like, at the same time, it's the most beautiful thing, but it's also the most ugly thing, right? Because on one hand, humanity can be capable of so many amazing things, and so much love and goodness and giving a sacrifice and just amazing. People put their heads together and their hearts together and their hands together, and they'll do amazing things and help hundreds of people, thousands of people, feed nations. But at the same time, humanity can also put their heads and hearts and hands together to do unspeakable things, like the Holocaust, right? Like wars that we see today. I heard a statement the other day that said since I guess 1900 or so, that there's only been 3 weeks of peace on earth combined, 3 weeks of peace, meaning that somewhere, some place, some continent, some country, some place on the planet Earth, someone has been warring with someone else every day except for just 3 weeks of peace. So humanity, as amazing and as beautiful and positive it can be awful ugly to each other. And maybe that's what you've experienced. And maybe you've been down the path of life to where what the world would do is it starts to put a stranglehold on your dreams. It starts to put a stranglehold on your dreams, and it starts to suffocate the visions and the hopes that you had for the future. Life has a way of doing that. All of us, regardless of what stage that we're in, sometime or another, if you haven't already, you will experience ugly. You will experience the bad and sorrow and pain and death leave a mark on our souls. So today, what I want to remind you of, regardless of what group that you're in, I just want to speak to that dreamer. Maybe you're in that first group and your dreams are right out here. You're excited about life. Things are going well, right? I want to speak to that dreamer. Or maybe it's a person who kind of, your dreamer's off to the side and you've kind of learned how to live and compromise and settling. And even if you're that third group who's got that dreamer of you just locked away in solitary confinement, I want to speak speak to that this morning. And I want to encourage that piece of you. I want to encourage that piece of you. And I want to remind you that this morning, that through God, all things are possible. And I want to remind you this morning that no matter how far off course you've gotten and how deep into sin that you've gotten and how many mistakes and how many failures and how many, that God still loves you and that you can have the confidence that tomorrow can be better than your yesterday. I want to encourage you that it's not too late for you. It's not too late for you. Look somebody in the eyeballs and tell them, it's not too late for you. It's not too late for you. Tell them, it's not too late for you. What I mean by that is God not only can give you new dreams, but he can begin to resurrect those old dreams that you've had. Well, it's been too long and I've been too far and I've done this and we said a couple weeks ago during our gospel series that God doesn't give us the gospel, or the gospel doesn't change us. It resurrects us. Because we don't need to be better, we need to be made alive. We don't need to be changed, we need to be resurrected. And that's what the cross did for us. That's what the resurrection did for us. And it breathes new life. The Bible says, Jesus says it, he uses the language intentionally and specifically to be born again, right? To be born again. To be born again. And so I want to ask you this morning, as you think about these dreams that you may have once had, these dreams that you used to believe in, these dreams that used to give you hope, and I'll let it be rhetorical. Unless you want to stand up and wave, that's okay. But does anybody have the faith to dream again? Does anybody have the faith to dream again? Because it's really not even about you. And it's not really even about your dream. But it's the faith that you have. I'm going to talk about that. So we talked about this world choking and suffocating out your dreams and your hopes and what you believe for your future. But there's a way to live above the world. The Bible says that it's been used and abused, the scripture, unfortunately, but it talks about that we're in the world but not of the world, right? We're in the world but not of the world. And some people take that to an extreme that we have to like do this to like people who don't go to church or believe the same way we do. That's stupid, okay? That's not what that scripture means. It means that while we live on earth, our principles, our philosophies, our belief system are shaped by something bigger than that. Our theologies, our principles, our philosophy is shaped by something bigger than that. It's the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of our world. And why we live here, I don't know if you ever do this, but you ever go to work and you think about how you need this or you need that, or if you could just get a raise, or why is your boss a jerk, or whatever it is, or you're waiting for the next paycheck to come in, you ever cross your mind that 100 years from now, 1,000 years from now, 10,000 years from now, how much will that paycheck really mean? Even if you're not on board with the whole living forever, and Jesus' resurrection gives us victory over death, and that we will one day live with him and reign with him in heaven, even if you're not on board with that, and you believe that once you die, it's nothing but worms and dirt, even if that's your philosophy, what does 1,000 years look like from now for you? And how much weight does that paycheck have? How much weight does that interaction that you had with a random stranger at Kroger that like ruined your week because they were nasty, right? What kind of weight does that have in the light of the fact that we're going to live forever and ever and ever? It's hard for me to get too excited about my job anymore. I'm just going to be honest with you. Just because in my mind, I know it's all fleeting. I know it'll all turn to dust. Don't get me wrong, I'm not telling you to quit your jobs. I'm not telling you to do that. It'd be nice though, wouldn't it? But what I'm telling you is look at it from a different perspective. When I go to work, what I look for, God, show me a way today that I can be a positive influence on the people around me. How can I be a witness of your gospel? How can I mirror or reflect your love in my life to those around me? And if I can do that and roll up my sleeves and do my work, I can get a paycheck, I can be doing the Lord's work, right? And it's a win-win. I wish I could just do the Lord's work, though. That would be nice. But what I'm trying to say to you this morning is that the world around us begins to, it's like thorns, right? It's like thorns that grow up in a garden, and they begin to choke out the flowers or the weeds that grow up in a flower bed. They begin to grow up and eventually choke out, and that's how a lot of us have experienced life in regards to our dreams. Just life begins to happen. Things begin to break. Here are three things that I want to show you. I won't take too long, but I do want to root these in Scripture because I think it's critical that as you walk out your spiritual journey, that you walk with a sense of purpose and hope, and knowing that there's something ahead for you, and that your dreams can come true after all. Number one, don't get hung up on the what. Don't get hung up on the what. So here's what that means. In Matthew 9:27-29. Hopefully you guys are enjoying your new worship guides. There's little things that you got on the way in today, right? And it tells a little bit about our church. And we're going to be continuing to revise those, and we'll eventually get them series themed. But for right now, we just cranked out a bunch of them to get them in your hands. But on the back there, if you're a note taker, or if you'd like to be, that'd be a good place to take down these next 3 points. So Matthew 9:27-29. I'm going to read it out of the Message. As Jesus left the house, he was followed by two blind men crying out, "Mercy, Son of David, mercy on us." When Jesus got home, the blind men went in with him. Jesus said to them, "Do you really believe I can do this?" They said, "Why, yes, Master." He touched their eyes and said, "Become what you believe." It happened, and they saw. It happened, and they saw. So I want to talk a little bit about that. Don't get hung up on the what, because what Jesus did not say to them was, "Do you believe that you can see? Or do you believe that you can be better? Or do you believe that life can turn out better for you?" These are all things you'd love to say yes to, but the idea that what Jesus was communicating in that small sentence was, "Do you really believe I can do this?" So don't get hung up on the what. In their case, it was blindness. In your case, it might be relationships that need healed. It might be physical healing. It might be an emotional scar and baggage that you've been carrying around for years. It could be financial issues. Don't get hung up on the what, right? Don't get hung up on the what, because what Jesus would say, "Do you believe I can do?" It doesn't matter what the problem is. We don't believe that the problem can get better as much as we believe that Jesus can fix it, that God can fix it. "Do you really believe I can do this?" They said, "Why, yes, Master." And he touched their eyes and said, "Become what you believe." Let's look at that, Rob, one last time. Become what you believe. There we go. He touched their eyes and said, "Become what you believe." What did you think about that? The second thing I would tell you is don't get hung up on the how. Don't get hung up on the how. So we said don't get hung up on the what. Don't get hung up on the how. John 9:1-7. Walking down the street, Jesus saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, causing him to be born blind?" Jesus said, "You're asking the wrong question. You're looking for someone to blame. There is no such cause effect here. Look instead for what God can do. We need to be energetically at work for the one who sent me here, working while the sun shines. When the night falls, the workday is over. For as long as I am in the world, there's plenty of light. I am the world's light." He said this and he spit in the dust. He made a clay paste with the saliva, rubbed the paste on the blind man's eyes and said, go, wash at the pool of Siloam. Siloam means sent. The man went and washed and saw. You get that? What happened there? There's a blind guy, and Jesus spits into some dirt, scoops it up, makes some paste, right? And he smears it on dude's eyes, right? Now, you might be wondering, why did he do that when clearly before the scripture we just read, another incident, what'd he do to them? He just touched their eyes, right? So this guy like got kind of a raw deal a little bit, right? Like Jesus, like he might have even heard of this. Like this Jesus guy came, like maybe there's like a blind man's group, like a support group or something. Like, I don't know. And they're like, hey, where's Earl and Tony? This Jesus dude came and touched their eyes, and now they're not blind anymore. Okay, well, cool. Then so this guy's Jesus, son of David, have mercy. So Jesus, he's crying for Jesus. He's like, Jesus is going to touch my eyes. And all of a sudden, he's like, what is this, right? Like, what's going on here? These are fingers, but there's a little bit more going on here than just fingers, right? Jesus just spit and made a mud ball and smeared it on your face. Awesome. Yes. Now, I did a lot of research through the years about why Jesus did this. About why, instead of just touching, which he clearly could have just done, spoke and touch, why did he make the mud balls of smear on the guy's eyes? And here's the conclusion I came to of why Jesus did that. I don't have a flippant idea, okay? That's the conclusion I came to. I have no idea. I don't think anybody does. I'm sure if you turn on the right TV show, they'll tell you prophetically what it means. But other than that, I have no idea, and I don't think it even matters. That's the point, though, is don't get caught up on the how. Because here's what happens sometimes. Like, we have a dream or a vision or something that we want God to do in our lives, and we look at someone and go, just do it like he's doing it in Jamie's life. Like, that's amazing. God, I want what Jamie has, and I want you to give it to me, and just like he does, and looks like he just goes to church, and then all of a sudden he gets good things, or whoever it is, right? Whoever it is. And we think about other people's life, how that's turned out. Like, I just want that like that. But there's two things with that. One is the series of events that get you to your goal, the series of events that get you to your dream come true, they're going to be very unique to your own situation. And so when you look at other people, how their lives turned out, that idea of like, I want to be just like them. And I know you're looking at me and like, you really want to be like me, but I'm telling you that you really don't. I mean, all that is a joke, by the way. Please, like, he's really arrogant. No, I'm not. I'm just joking. Because I was joking about, do you want to be like me? I wasn't joking like, no, you don't, right? Because you don't want to pay some of the prices that I've paid. That's the other piece of that story, is that we look at people who seem to have things together, who seem to, that God be is using or blessing, and we're like, oh, isn't that fantastic? But you don't really know what happened along the way. I said a couple weeks ago, does anybody want to be used of God greatly? People get excited about that. Then I said, then he has to wound you deeply. God will break you to mold you and to fix you. You say, well, that doesn't sound good. That doesn't sound good. God used the analogy potter's wheel for a reason. This idea that when these things happen to you in life, because the Bible says it like this, you know what? It rains on good people and it rains on bad people. And the sun shines on good people and it shines on bad people. That's one of the things that's hard for us to wrap our head around in the Christian life, is they're clearly nasty and they don't even believe in you and they're terrible people, but they get good stuff. They get good stuff, right? Because we want this fair thing. We want it to work out. We want it to work out. But sometimes when you look at someone who seems to have it all together, you don't know what level of brokenness that they had to come through. Because here's what I believe. I believe that God comforts those in need. God comforts those who have been broken. God comforts those who have been wounded so that we can grow from it, and that our scars will tell the story of a merciful God. Our scars will tell the story of a merciful God. I'll talk about that more at another date, because I could really just hammer home here, but I want you to just remember that point. Don't get hung up on the how. Third point, dream big, get big. Dream big, get big. Matthew 7, 7 through 11. Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? If they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask Him? Dream big and get big. The premise is there is that what you'll ask God for, that He'll want to give you. I think it was Sister Emma I was talking to on Wednesday night, talking about getting a vacuum, right? A vacuum cleaner, and how it was on sale and all this. And I don't know why anyone would ask God for a vacuum, but Sister, I'm just kidding, okay? Good grief. But Sister Emma and Dave were wanting a sweeper, and they found one on sale, and they found it on extra sale, and then this whole thing worked out. You have to talk to her about it. But that the idea is that, well, God is invested in all things that are important to you. And it's really hard to wrap your head around, right? Because you go, well, God doesn't care about the little stuff. Well, if you're God, everything's kind of little stuff. You know what I mean? Like, everything's little stuff. So, like, where do you draw the line? Like, Well, he doesn't care about my vacuum cleaner, but he cares about my house. What does God care about a house, right? Like wrap your head around for just a second. Like, Earth, and then you've got the solar system, and then you've got the galaxy, and you've got a couple thousand other ones, right? Like, that's God's world. And if you go, well, he doesn't care about vacuums, there's probably a lot. If you want to take that point of view, there's probably a lot he doesn't care about, right? We're just infinitesimal specks in the universe, ourselves, right? Even of human beings. Here today, gone tomorrow. If you believe in an eternal God that's been around forever and ever and will be here forever and ever and ever, the Bible says, but a vapor, right? But a vapor. Nothing but a vapor. Like the stuff that comes out of a teapot, right? When it's on the stove. You see it coming out, it's gone. When you go outside and it's cold and you blow and you see your breath and it just disappears, that's our lifespan in the context of an eternal God. But yet, he still loves you. And yet, he still cares for you. And he goes on to say that I care for the sparrow. And if I'll care for the sparrow, what more will I do for you? We have not because we ask not a lot of times. A lot of times, the point that I want to drive home today, in the kind of underlying theme, the bedrock theme, so to speak, is to have the confidence that God is not done with you, that you can dream new dreams, your old dreams can be resurrected, and that you haven't been banned from dreamland. You haven't been banned from dreamland. Your goal path still works, right? I believe this morning that the Father is calling out to the dreamer in all of us. The Father loves to love you. He loves to love you. You know, I love it when Jalen or Liam come and ask me for something or need my help with something. It feels great to be daddy. That's the most beautiful sound on the planet Earth in my world, is to hear daddy. You know, just this morning, Liam comes busting in the bathroom and, you know, he's dancing, he's singing Jesus, Jesus, all I want is to be like you. But he'll say, Daddy, can you get this game on my Kindle or whatever it is? Or Daddy, I can't get the ninja sword out of his hand, or, you know, or Jalen with her homework. But I love to give to them because they're my children. The Father does the same thing. He loves it when you ask him for his help. He loves it when you trust in him to do things that you can never do without him. The dreams and visions that you had in your life, those hopes of tomorrow, you can't do them by yourself. You know what? You never really could. And so whether it was 10 years ago before things went wrong, or it was last week before things went wrong, whatever the case may be, he still loves, he's still able, and it's not too late for you. It's time to ask and believe. It's time to dream again. It's time to dream big. I'm going to ask us this morning to take a step out on faith, okay? And I'm going to get Jamie Russell up some of your hospitality people, would you? I'm going to give these cards, one to everybody. And these cards, I will tell you, this is, you don't have to participate. I'd love if you did. I think it'd be good for you if you did. But what those cards speak of is dreaming big and getting big. And I'm just believing as a community of faith that we need to exercise our faith and to step out and ask God to do something that only he can do. Not, I'm going to get an A on my math test. You can figure out how to do that. Not, I'm going to get a paycheck next week. Show up and don't be a jerk and it'll probably happen. I'm not talking about the stuff that's probably going to happen anyways. I'm talking about something that you believe God to do that without his help, it's probably impossible. And so what that card says is that I'm believing in the next 90 days. In the next 90 days, I'm believing God for. Now, we worded that specifically to say, I'm believing God for. Because it's not, don't get caught up in the what. Don't get caught up in the what. It's not this I'm believing in. It's him I'm believing to do this. Because he can do all things. He can do all things. Let's look at, I'm going to throw a curveball at you, Rob. Ephesians 3 and 20. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. God can do anything far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. What are your wildest dreams? I just encourage you to write that down this morning, right here on these lines, and then sign it at the bottom, signing an agreement with God that that's going to happen. And we're going to do something this morning. Hey, Bob, will you take a timeout for a second? Can I get your help? Can you just set this down there for me? I'm just going to ask those of you who would, after you've written something down, something that only God can do, in the next 90 days, we'll do the math for you. You don't have to worry about what is the 90th day. But if that's you, and you're just feeling like it's time to start dreaming again, it's starting to believe God for something big, I'm tired of compromise, I'm tired of disappointment, I'm tired of trying to do it all on my own, but I'm trusting God for this specific thing. Ready to start dreaming big. If you write that down, we'll put it in our dream box. We're going to keep it safe. We won't pass it out. We're not going to put it on the internet. We're going to keep it safe, locked up. And then 90 days, what I want to do is get it back out in 90 days and celebrate with you about what God's done in your life. If you're the praying kind, I'm going to ask that you'd stand with me. We're going to stretch our hands. And all that means in our world is that we're just focusing our faith right towards this little dream box, and the idea that that we are believing in our hearts that God is bigger than anything that we could think or imagine, and that God in his sufficient grace and mercy and his power can make all of our dreams come true according to his will in our obedience. Father, we come to you through your Son, Jesus Christ. You've already saved us. If you could save our souls and give us eternal life in heaven with you, then whatever's on these sheets of paper, it's nothing for you. It's nothing in the sense that it's easy for you to do. It might mean the world to us. And in our world, these are our heart's desires. These are what we need from you to take us to the next level in our lives, to live above this world. And Father, I'm just asking you to do this. And I don't say this lightly, but I believe that there are some people in the room who are trying to figure you out and trying to figure out how much they really trust you and how much faith they really have. And I'm just asking that you prove yourself to them and show up in a mighty way. And that when we look back 90 days from now, it'll be obvious that there is a God in heaven who reigns and who rains down with love, mercy, forgiveness, and wants to give us the desires of our heart and fill our lives with joy and peace. Father, we trust you. We know that you love to love us. We know that you love to give us good gifts, and that every good gift comes from you through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray this prayer of faith, not getting hung up on what we want or how you'll do it. Doesn't matter, but we know that you will, because we know that you are. And in Jesus' name, we all say, amen. All right, folks, if you stay standing with me, we're going to dismiss you. I'm excited about what God's doing in this place. I'm excited about what I see here on a weekly basis. And more than what I just see, I'm excited about what I feel, because I can just feel the energy cranking up more and more on a weekly basis. I'm believing that you're believing God to do amazing things in your life. We're going to lock this up, and man, I cannot wait to celebrate with you and go nuts with you when we hear about the testimonies coming out of this house. Do you feel that? Do you believe it? Tailgate Sunday, feeding the needy, turkey bowl. We got it in lockdown, right? We're going to run this town. We love you. Hugs and kisses. See you next week.